So, the messengers of God, seven in number, are lined up. All this is behind-the-scenes look that we're getting by the pen of John. I'm in verse 2 of chapter 8 of the unveiling of Jesus Christ and the opening of the seventh seal. And I perceived the seven messengers who stand in God's sight, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another messenger came and was standing at the altar, having a golden thurible, and much incense was given him that he will be imparting to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar in sight of the throne, and the fumes of the incense. This is worship and praise. This is what incense is. And it takes great spiritual insight to be offering worship and praise to God in the face of what is about to happen upon the earth. As these seven messengers with their seven trumpets stand ready for battle, we see incense being wafted about, worship, praise. The incense, the prayers of the saints ascended out of the messenger's hand in God's sight. None of this takes part apart from the sight of God. He is supervising this. And it's not as we have been taught in Sunday school that God will overlook and supervise the eternal torment of his enemies. It only increases his delight to see the increased pain of those who rejected him, abandoned him. Poor God. He's codependent, you know. He needs other people to love him in order to feel loved. He has no source of love within himself to sustain himself. No, but he needs other people to like him, or he gets very angry and he supervises their torments. But that's not what we're seeing here. We are seeing supervision, but we're seeing it of incense and prayers being offered. But this happens after the hush. And I'm going to only finish reading to verse 5, and I'm going to go back to verse 1, because I've kept you in suspense long enough about this hush, as it were, a half of an hour. The fumes of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended out of the messenger's hand in God's sight, and the messenger has taken the thurible, and he crams it with the fire of the altar and casts it into the earth. And thunders and voices and lightnings and an earthquake occurred. Again, understatement. An earthquake occurred. Wait till you see this earthquake. But all this follows the most amazing thing. Back to verse 1 of chapter 8. And when it opens the seventh seal, a hush occurred in heaven, as it were, half an hour. John has been given to see and hear things that will soon happen. He was called by a trumpet through the open door of heaven, chapter 4, verse 1. And since then, our ears in this book of the unveiling have been assaulted, really. I don't think greeted is a strong enough word. By voices and thunders, by loud proclamations, by voices of praise. Prayers, commands from the Lambkin, the prayers of the saints, the petitions of the peoples on the earth to cover us, hide us, voices, sounds, trumpets. Even the melody, the songs of the myriads of messengers and the ringing response of all creation to what God is about to do. But now, in the midst of this, there comes a hush in heaven, for, as John writes, quote, as it were, half an hour. I'm going to read verse 1 again. And when it, the Lambkin, opens the seventh seal, and the seventh seal's the big boy, a hush occurred in heaven, as it were, half an hour. The seventh seal is opened in silence. Dead, library, grave-like silence, which speaks more volumes than any noise that could possibly be heard, and is in such a startling contrast to what has gone before that the silence can truly be said here to be deafening. If we've followed the breaking of the seals up to this point, it's not going to be hard for us to realize that this silence is pregnant and that it means something and that something amazing is going to happen now. The seals broken previously have had a tremendous impact on the earth. War, famine, pestilence, plague, followed by the souls under the altar, followed by signs in the heavens, the asteroids, the stars being shaken in heaven, falling like brittle figs. But there's more to come. A sealing has occurred, S-E-A-L-I-N-G, since the sixth seal is open, and the 144,000 from Israel have been sealed, preceding the opening of the seventh seal. This suggests to us that the most momentous events of all are about to happen. And that's true. Because one more seal remains to be opened. And this seal will involve the end. This will finish it. This will finish it. And it's going to be bringing the most severe trials this earth has ever known, even more severe than the first six seals. And when it's broken, all we can do is, this sounds strange, join in with the dead silence of the messengers, of the elders, of the animals, of the lambkin, of God himself. How do you join in silence? You sit there and you think about it. And right now you may be surrounded by so much noise, so much clutter. If not in your outside world, then in your inside world. And you may want the world to stop. You just want to rest. Well, here it is. This is what is commonly referred to as the calm before the storm, the eye of the hurricane. Anyone who has been in a hurricane, when that eye passes over, it's remarkable calm. The sky is blue again. The wind stops blowing. Birds begin chirping. But it ain't over. And we sit and we seek to understand. And this stillness, as it were a half an hour, is more full of import than if 1,000 trumpets had blasted, sounding an alarm of war. If 1,000 trumpets had blasted simultaneously, if God had taken every trumpet that's ever been blown in Israel's history and blared it, it would not be more impressive than this 30 minutes of silence in heaven. This is noted. This isn't fiction. Something different is happening in heaven. That's never happened before. Dead silence, and probably will never happen again. And here's the question that you should ask. Why the delay? Everything seems to be ready. The seven messengers are lined up. All the saints in Israel have been sealed. The 144,000, the vast throng, the trumpets are prepared, the messengers who blow them are prepared, and the time has come for judgment, and the harvest, as our Lord said, is ripe. The day of man is finally past. We've had 6,000 years of it, and the day of the Lord is about to begin. Why the heck, then, is there this delay? Here's why. It's the difference between God and man. The rage of man is reckless. It's thoughtless. It's hurried. It's strained. It's off the handle. It flies off the cuff. All these words, phrases we use to describe anger. He went off the handle. Oh, he spoke off the cuff. Off the record. All these impetuous, sudden, non-premeditated things. People go to anger management because they can't control themselves. Because they don't stop and think. What's the famous saying? Count to 10. Count to 10. Count to 10 before you explode. Because then maybe you can gather your wits. This almost is the divine equivalent of count to 10. Except it's 30 minutes. It's not rage seeking to be controlled. It's a demonstration, I believe, to the universe that what is about to happen is not happening due to some off the rails, off the charts, impetuous, angry, uncontrollable deity. But that what is about to happen is in accord with a God who up until this point has patiently borne with humanity, has let, quote unquote, the world run its course to show it its own miserable failings for its own eventual good. The God who opened the window of grace that has been upon us now for 2,000 years. Now, in the unveiling, we are in a contracted period of time. We are in a time not of 2,000 years, but 3.5 years. And acting in accordance with that contracted time period, God sits down and breathes, and heaven breathes with him. And there is a profound, remarkable, some would call it, I suppose, disturbing silence for, as it were, a half an hour. Because what is about to happen is in accord with the control, the carefulness, the surgical precision of God, which will oppose everything people think they know about God. Rashness, anger, vindictiveness, meanness, suddenness. No. That is all wrong. In light of the deafening silence occurring in heaven, the inauguration of the taking back of this world, as it were, for half an hour.